This morning, beautiful early March morning. Appreciate Bible reading. It was kind of lengthy, but appreciate him reading that. If you had your handout, if you look at the very top, faith over the long haul. And he just read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. We all want something that lasts. Part of my preparation this week, I listened to about a 20-minute interview by Brother Ralph Gilmore was being interviewed, and as I listened to him, he talked about, if you don't know Ralph, I don't know him personally, I know who he is, and that he teaches at Freed Hardeman University. He's been there since 1981, but he also preaches in addition to teaching in the Bible department. But he talked about one particular time that he spent several days, several hours investing a lot of time working on a lesson, and he had done the research, asked the questions, answered those questions with his research, all the material that he gathered, documented everything. He really had his had everything in line and in order. And he says what he always does when before he preaches is his wife's name is Judy. He always runs the sermon by Judy. He said he calls it the Judy test. And this particular time, he and Judy there at the house, and he ran through the sermon, got so proud of himself, got to the end, and she says, "I'm going to do that over." To his dismay and disappointment, he asked her to explain this. He says, "Well, when I come to worship services, obviously worshiping God, but also I want something that will help me get through the week." She says, "I want something that's going to help me get through the next Sunday, to the next Sunday rather." And Ralph and Judy are both cancer survivors. And so he talks about having that perspective, having faith that lasts over through the long haul, and to deal with those ups and downs of life. So we know that we all deal with anxiety, pain, suffering, death, social challenges, financial challenges, all those different things, parenting challenges maybe. We know that having faith means what? Having assurance. So as we unpack this lesson this morning, we're going to do our best to study God's Word, digest it, embrace it, and apply it to our lives so that we can get through the week, regardless of what stage in life you're in. Maybe you're a high school student dealing with peer pressure. Maybe you're dealing with trying to get your homework accomplished. You get caught up, don't get behind. Or maybe you are working. You got enough gas to get to work this week, get through all those challenges. Or if you are dealing with health challenges in your life, you see a loved one that's dealing with something that you wish you could remove, take away, but you just can't. This will hopefully, if we look at this, the letter to the Ephesians written by Paul to the Ephesians, that we can develop our faith, strengthen our faith over the long haul. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Remain faithful in Jesus Christ. Now, as you turn there, I've chose this letter because I think I see a lot of myself and maybe some of the Ephesians sometimes or those at Ephesus. The fact that we're so spiritually blessed, we're so blessed that maybe we don't realize the blessings that we have. And that may impact our ability to have that faith over the long haul. First three chapters, we're only going to spend time in just a couple of chapters, but the first three chapters brings these points to our attention. And I use Ephesians as a mirror, so I have to look at myself. That Paul is writing to them to remind them of their adoption, their citizenship, their wisdom, their life, the seal of the Holy Spirit, their grace, forgiveness. He has a long list of things that he's bringing out that we need to look also at. He reminds them of their inheritance. We have an inheritance. If we are obedient, growing Christians. I'd like to share some of the characteristics of the church at Ephesus. I have about just 9. Faith in Christ, Ephesians verses, chapter 1, verse 15. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. They endured boldness and teaching and preaching the gospel. Revelation chapter 2. They tried and proved false teachers. They put them to the test. They wanted to weed false teachers out, get rid of them. Acts 20:20. They publicly taught from house to house. Acts chapter 19, verse 9, we'll spend a little more time on this in a few minutes. They heard Paul daily in the hall or the school of Quirinius. They investigated and exposed false teachers. We read also a cross-reference of Acts 19, verse 13 through 20. They did not tolerate evildoers in the church, Revelation 2:6. They endured persecution and hardship for the Lord's sake with patience. Revelation 2:2. And Acts chapter 19, verse 10, they were a missionary church. All of Asia got to grow and understand and hear God's word because of the church at Ephesus. They got outside the building. They got out of the parking lot, you might say. They got out of their community. They got into the region. So they're known as a missionary church. Paul, if you go to Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. In my notes, I underlined and highlighted several times the same word, faithful, full of faith. What does it mean to be faithful? In order for us to have that faith that's going to endure over the long haul, to the end of our life, to the end of our loved one's life, well, first of all, we have to go back and look, what does it mean to be faithful? Well, it means in order to have an enduring faith to absorb all those challenges. Well, where does our faith begin? Go to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 27. I'd like to read that. Galatians 3, verses 26 through 27. For you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Our faith begins at conversion. That's where we begin our walk. Now, claiming an identity sometimes, we may think, well, that's faith. You know, I'm here this morning. You know, I don't play golf, but it's a beautiful day. I'm here. I'm not playing golf. I'm not fishing. I'm not home watching sports reporters on ESPN. So that must mean I'm faithful, right? Well, go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Then I ask the question, how can we do the will of the Father? We claim an identity, but it requires consistency and it requires constant obedience to the Father. Not just making a claim or a statement, but it requires constant and consistent obedience. We know that we must be aware of false teachers. We must do more than claim. We must proclaim God's word and apply that to our lives and as we live out our lives each day. Go to Acts chapter 5, verse 29. As we think about remaining faithful over the long haul, remaining faithful, we realize that people disappoint, that men disappoint, experts disappoint us. We talked about in our class this morning in self-control. We talked about two secular examples of people who were in the spotlight, who meant something to a lot of people, the different demographics of people. But yet, they failed. We all fall. We all fail at times. That's why it's a reminder we read about in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, in order to have that long-lasting faith, we should not put our faith, all the questions that we want answered for eternity, in the man. Because Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Obeying men will assure two things if we obey men: that our soul will be lost and our faith will be weakened. Go to John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus says here, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ, the words that we read in the New Testament, the words that we are to follow. Go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. We know that not walking in the light will negatively impact our faith over the long haul. As we studied, as we all studied this morning through middle school and up, you studied self-control. Not having self-control means that we are falling into the world, that we're falling into that darkness. Self-control is constantly something we should be aware of. It's a work in progress. Because self-control, we will demonstrate that we will walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We must constantly have our guard up and not walk in darkness, be pulled in from the secular part of the earth, the world. Having faith requires that we follow Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we will not have the faith it takes to get through those difficult times in life, we will not have the faith to get us to heaven if we're putting our obedience in men and not God. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. As you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, throw out just a few numbers, actually three sets of numbers. We all get 168 hours in the week, 7 days a week. Some days, I wish we had 8 days in the week. Then other days, I'm thankful that we don't, because the seven I have really leaves me tired sometimes, and I still don't get things done. We all get 168 hours in the week. On the average, we work, in our society, we work about 40 hours a week. On the average, we get about 8 hours of sleep a night, on the average. Now, the rest of that, is we've carved this out for sure, of our budget of time. Does our schedule, when we put up the calendar, whether it's on the phone or on the refrigerator or on our desk or wherever, does our calendar reflect our commitment to Christ? And think about that question, because your answer, my answer, will play a huge part into our level of faith and our ability to withstand those blows, to withstand those bad news, to withstand all the things going on around us that we see our loved ones going through. Your answer, my answer, will determine if our faith will last over the long haul when we look at our calendar. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? If you go to Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. Paraphrasing, we must actively take advantage to strengthen our faith. We must take every opportunity to do good. Obviously, to do good to all men, but also to do good in our growth, in our spiritual focus of ourselves and our children. That is getting to the heart of wise. True wisdom is being a growing Bible student. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we're all familiar with that. That tells us that we all have a limited number of sunsets. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. That we know that our life will end. Are we prepared for that? Are we helping our family members prepare for that? In order to have faith over the long haul, we have to be able to answer that question and think about, begin the day with the end in mind. Talking to other people, you know, whether you're, you know, I love talking to people. I know that shocks you, but when I was 16, 17 years old, meeting people in their 80s, their 90s, even now I love talking to people who are older, because I feel like they obviously know a lot more than I do. They've lived longer. And the answer is always the same. We don't mean to always end up with, man, time sure did fly by. Can't believe it. It just went by like that. Years just fell away, decade after decade after decade. And that's kind of, as you talk to older people or people who have lived a while, that we all find ourselves that way. You know, as youngsters, we just think about time drags on, drags by. But we know that our days really are short. James tells us life is just a vapor. So we have to prepare ourselves to have that long-lasting faith. We must be prepared to endure the end. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. A little bit lengthy, but I would like to read it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. For me, I asked a question a few minutes ago. What do you do with the rest of your calendar? What do I do with the rest of my calendar? After we start off at 168 hours per week. We have 40 hours of work, not 40 hours of sleep, 40 hours of work, 8 hours of sleep a night. What's left? What do we do with the rest of it? Well, hopefully we find the answers here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. But also from this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For me, that's the answer for the rest of what do I do with my calendar. And the fact that I need to find out the opportunities I need to take advantage of through Bible study, through classes, through personal growth, spiritual growth, through education, through coming or teaching, participating. That's the answer. We should add. The key word, if you go back to the beginning, we need to add to so that one domino falls in the right direction. It's how we give diligence, adding to our faith and strengthening our faith. You go to Acts chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. Acts chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. Paul ministered for about 3 years, from AD 52 through AD 55 at Ephesus. Two scholars, or two commentaries that I usually consult when preparing for lessons or classes, they both put Paul's time at the school or the hall of Tyrrhenius. They always put him there teaching every day. One commentator says that every day from about 11 to 4 in the heat of the day, Paul was teaching at the school of Tyrrhenius. Some call it the hall of Tyrrhenius. But he's holding Bible class. He's holding Bible school. Another commentator says his classes last about 2 hours at a time. Now, when I fill in for Bart, when I go back, some people kind of poke me and go, man, you just talk for a few minutes. Then on the other side of the building, other people say, I wish you'd kind of, shorten it up just a little bit. But I'm not going 2 hours. But the point is that while we may not be able to dedicate 2 hours for Bible study every day or listen to lectures every day for 2 hours, I get it. I understand. I, like you, we, like you at home, at our house, have commitments, obligations, financial obligations, work obligations. And I could not take off in the middle of the day to participate in a two-hour lecture. I would like to. I want to. But yet, the point is this. While we may not be able to dedicate 2 hours every day for Bible study or listen to lectures, how much time are we dedicating? Those who would go listen, take off in the middle of the day, listen to Paul, a preacher, a teacher, for 2 hours at a time. How much time are we getting? Your answer and my answer, again, will reflect our level of faith. That when the storms come, the rain comes down, the wind blows in life, will determine if we will be able to withstand that. Our level of faith, we want it to last for the long haul. We have to gird ourselves, prepare ourselves. Go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. One of my favorite letters that Paul has written to the Philippians. It's a joyful letter, no rebuking, not correcting or no correcting or anything there. He is sharing his love and joy. They are a joyful group. And Paul is complimenting them. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. On the surface, that seems like maybe a contradictory statement at first, when you first read that. But how is living for Christ and then dying gainful? How does that allow us to have faith? That's why I like to kind of dig a little deeper. Paul isn't expanding his own comfort zone. He isn't making himself comfortable. Nick in his prayer prayed that we get out of our comfort zone. I agree. Paul is trying to get out of his comfort zone, not expand his comfort zone. He's not trying to advance himself. He's not trying to advance himself in the region, elevate himself. It's all about one thing. It's about expanding the borders of God's kingdom. Paul realizes, and he is sharing, to really live, to serve, is to serve Christ. Because when Paul dies, he's going to be free from what? Just like us, be free from the troubles of this world. That he will rejoice in the presence of Jesus Christ. For me, that's a win-win. In that if we are being used up for Christ, we are showing our love for Christ. But also, when we die, we're getting out of this world, this troublesome world. But we're going to rejoice in his presence. Paul wants to be used up for Christ, do we? You go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 11, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. As you turn there, You have your outline where on C at the bottom, faith creates steadiness. And I've shared with some of you all maybe privately or maybe corporately, I don't know, one of my favorite part-time jobs years ago, for about 10 years, I was a weekend dispatcher at the 911 center. And I can remember picking up phone calls, and you could always hear, you know, when the phone would ring, you think about how loudly I'm speaking. They have sound systems. Every time the phone rings, it's that loud. So everybody's already on edge when the phone rings. You could always hear tragedy on the other end, unsteadiness, people who are the opposite of calm, it's hectic, it's crazy. And lots of times you'd almost have to be very stern and say, I cannot help you until you calm down. No matter what your problem is, I can't help you. Just calm down. Lacking steadiness. And I think about us sometimes, that we deal with tragedy. We deal with news that we don't want to hear from the doctor, maybe from other areas in our life, and that we become unsteady. I do, because I'm human. But faith will allow us to become steady. At the end, paraphrasing Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, we should be confident in our inheritance. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be shaken. That's not the point at all. Sure we are. Sure we're concerned that when somebody that we love and we care about is dealing with health issues, with social issues, emotional issues, financial issues, we should be concerned. We might even be upset. Sure we are. But our faith will allow the waters to be calm, that we can become steady. We need to become immovable. Allow our faith to do that. So if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Second time we get the word abounding is popped up in Scripture. When I think of abounding, I think of a basketball or a kickball. We play a lot of basketball at home. And I think about a basketball that abounds. It just keeps going. It bounces higher. It's bouncing lower, but yet it bounces. And I think about us. If our faith is growing, it's bouncing. It's bouncing higher and higher and higher to the point that we become immovable. That when we do pick up that phone again, receive the news that we don't want to receive, that yet we might be unsteady for a little bit, but we realize that through the inheritance that we have, we read about it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, that we should can be confident, we can be immovable. Therefore, is a practical application that we are always strong and connected to Christ. As long as we're connected to Christ, we should be able to have a faith that lasts, have a faith over the long haul. You go to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can he unless you abide in me. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And I want to read that last part, or say that last part. Jesus is saying, for without me, you can do nothing. We cannot do anything without Jesus Christ. When we're striving to have that faith that lasts for the long haul, we have to have Jesus Christ. We have to be obedient to Jesus Christ, not man. Our faith can only allow us to become solid and steady if we are connected during the best times and the worst times. When we're alone, anxious, isolated, depressed, looking for answers, we should turn to Christ. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying the ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Do only a few people get access to having the opportunity to have strong faith? Do only a few people get to understand salvation? No. How do we know? If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants everybody to be saved. We have to move towards Him through our seeking Jesus Christ and our obedience. Our faith can only last over the long haul if we have that truthful knowledge. Not hints, not guesses, not putting everything into what man says, only what God says. We know that certainty about the future requires consistency in the present. That's the only thing that we can count on. We know that challenges are for sure. We know that obstacles are certain. But Jesus Christ overcomes everything. Finish with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. The last two. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Knowing this, that we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins. As we make that long trip through life, I think about, just as you've been on trips, some long, some short, but it seems like it's always full of challenges. And I think about life, I think about births, I think about deaths, and everything in between. We've all seen the explanation or the videos or the different commentaries about, you know, headstones. You have the birth, you have the death, but what do you have in the middle? You have the dash. That's life. And I think about everybody's dash. It's on your headstone. All of those ups and downs in the middle. That's where our faith over the long haul comes in, because at the end, what do we want to hear? At the very end, we all want to hear. Go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. At the end of our long trip, as we have faith over the long haul, we want to hear what we read about in Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Regardless of what chapter or what stage of life that you're in, we all want to hear those words. We all want to have faith that lasts over the long haul. If you want to hear those words, we need to make ourselves right with God, have a being a right relationship, and be obedient to Christ. Do you want to hear those words? As we stand and sing,